Five, four, three, two, whatever.
Friends with brews.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Scott. Hi.
Well, we've had quite the adventure.
Dude, all this, and then I was like, wait, let's do some work first and not have fun after I get... Oh, I need this beer, but here's the problem, Scott. Okay, for real quick. You're Scott. I'm Peter. You're drinking coffee.
Yep.
I'm drinking a Corona...
Ah,
non-alcoholic beer with lime.
I was gonna say that sounds like it would be good with a non-alcoholic taco.
I might make those later. I'll make non-alcoholic nachos, which is really the same thing as a non-alcoholic taco, just in a different presentation.
That is very true. Well, Peter, we've had quite the adventure, and let me see, macOS history.
Wow, non-alcoholic Corona tastes suspiciously like Corona.
Yeah, let's find out. Actually, that's good though, right?
I guess.
Okay, Mac OS was first introduced in 1999 as Mac OS Server 1.0. And then the first desktop version came out in March of 2001. Peter, the reason I'm bringing this up is I feel like Apple's had just a little bit of time to work on their audio subsystem.
I think, no, they need another
23 years?
10 years. 10 years.
Okay.
10 years from now, we're going to have audio working. And Bluetooth will be working. Everything will be fine.
The listener, you can't see me, but I'm just shaking my head with my eyes closed.
It's pretty ridiculous.
It is ridiculous how much pain we go through these days to get podcasting started.
You summed it right up. I can't even tell if my shush is working.
It's working.
Okay, it is working. Yeah. Good. Great. So, yeah, what's going on, man? What's the haps?
Excellent. Okay, so tell me about your Corona beer.
Okay, if you've ever had a Corona, it tastes kind of like that.
That's a victory, though, because sometimes non-alcoholic beers don't taste anything like their alcoholic counterparts.
Yep, it tastes like beer. It tastes like weak beer, but Corona is kind of weak beer. No offense.
No.
No offense. It's just...
I don't know why. People might take this wrong, but it's not meant that way. Corona is amazing with, like, Mexican food and stuff like that. Don't ask me why. Is that...
That's racist.
That's what I was wondering. Like, is it? I don't think it is,
no,
because it is so good with it.
Could be ethnist. Could be ethnist.
Well, here's why I think that's true. I think it's true because one of my favorite Mexican restaurants I go to around here, one of the better beers that they have on option is Corona. And so I have it with Mexican food a lot, and it does go good with Mexican food because it's light, it's not overpowering. It's better than having a dark chocolatey beer with Mexican food for sure.
Mm.
So I think that the association is made in my mind partly because local Mexican restaurants have made that association for me, and it does happen to work very well with Mexican food.
Yeah, and an example of that, I went back to Medford Brewing Company this past weekend.
Oh, after we talked?
I believe so, for a second, round two. Went there for, I don't remember.
Do you remember the daughter's name this time?
She was not there. But the other guy who was waiting on us, who was tending bar, was there.
Was he the son?
I don't think so.
He wasn't even an illegitimate son? No relation whatsoever?
We didn't get into that.
Hey, bastard.
I know this is going to surprise you.
Bring me another beer.
Bring me another beer, bastard. So what happened was, we went there. I took my girlfriend there, and she's not a big beer drinker.
Right.
But I told her that, they had a lot of beers, and some of them I thought she would think are cute. For her, cute is good. So I ordered a flight of 8 this time, and they were just really cool because they let me customize it the way I wanted it. So, I went down the list. I was like, I'll take one of your lagers. Definitely, we need 2 of the wit beers, the Poet wheat beer.
Mm-hmm.
I ordered her a couple of the IPAs because she generally thinks those are good for some reason. And the barley wine. And then I got up to 7 beers. And I was like, can I just leave this one to be determined? And he's like, yeah, sure. And I know other places would be like, no, a flight is this many. We're determining what the flight is. You have to choose all, So I was just like, I like the fact that they were like really easygoing, let you do what you want. About a half hour later, I'm just about finishing up the flight. I'm like, I hold up the empty glass. He's like, yep, what do you need? And I was like, yep, another one of the wit beer. Okay, perfect. So 2 thumbs up. What I don't know is if this Sunday coming up, they will be doing their Sunday morning runs, because they, according to one source, they run, they have a running club there the first three Sundays of every week. And according to another source, they have a running club there every Sunday except the fourth Sunday of the month.
Oh.
But July has five Sundays.
Oh. Oh, so do they or don't they?
Do they have one or not?
Can you show up and say, ha ha, I got you, you lazy bastards?
Yeah, but who would I say that to?
The people who didn't show up.
They're not going to hear me.
I know, but you'll still be saying it to them.
Great. Yes, the answer is yes, I can. I can do that. If a runner shows up and there's no one to hear him, is he still late for the run?
A prophet in the wilderness is still telling the truth, even though nobody goes to the wilderness, Peter. You are the running prophet.
Okay.
I didn't say running for profit, by the way. This isn't a new self-help book.
I wish. I mean, that would be kind of cool. My new job be like just, you know, running profit. Like, if I could be one of those guys who gets paid like a ton of money to, you know, like do that, I'd be down with that.
A ton of money to be real runny?
To yes.
Okay, I want to talk about my coffee, since I also have a brew. Mine is a coffee of a type of a brew. And this is from a local roasting company in Hillsboro, also very near that sushi restaurant that we went to that one night downtown underneath the library.
I remember that.
We're going there tonight again, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, it's near there. It's called the Bennett Coffee Roasting Company, and this is their Peru blend. And it says creamy dark chocolate, brown sugar, cinnamon. And I gotta say, I don't... Again, it's one of those ones where it's smooth and very nicely drinkable. Those particular flavors don't leap out at me, but that's fine. I'd rather have them be subtle than to be too strong. However,
okay,
creamy dark chocolate and brown sugar cinnamon, I would be okay with them being a little bit strong. Those sound like amazing flavors. So maybe I just need to use more beans. Here's my procedure. In order to cut down on the acidity of coffee and to preserve my stomach, because I do drink quite a bit of coffee during the day, I have a great big coffee cup here. I don't know what size this is, but I'm guessing it's at least 16 ounce, maybe 18 or 20. I don't know. It's huge.
I think it's a 16er.
Maybe. Yeah, probably. Anyway, I use 13 grams of beans and 500 grams of water, which is a high water to bean ratio, but it actually is not weak. It's not a watery tasting blend when I do that. And I've been doing that with most of my coffees that I've been buying lately. I grind it on a just under a medium grind. By just under, I mean slightly finer than a medium grind.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like I said, 12 to 13 grams of coffee, 500 grams-ish of water, 201 degrees, although by the time it goes over the grounds, it's probably in the 190s. And yeah, and then it's a Kalita Wave dripper that I use. And that's my technique, and it turns out a pretty good cup of coffee. So yeah, I'm a fan of this. This is good stuff.
Did you see the link that I sent you to the new AeroPress XL?
You did.
It's a double-sized AeroPress.
That's actually very good, because I could use that for my coffee cup, and my wife could use it for hers, which is about half the size of this one.
I'm finding that usually if I just double up in a standard AeroPress, that's enough, except if I'm making something for myself and, you know, my girlfriend, for example.
Right.
That's when I need, you know, that's when I have to break out two AeroPresses.
Right, because, yeah, right.
I kind of think, so I read the Wired review and the summary was, yeah, now that we have it, you know, we've all been waiting for it and it works great, just as we expected. Now that we have it, we're not really sure we need it. And that's kind of where I'm falling on that. So I'm thinking, like, if one of mine breaks and I need to replace it, I'll probably get one. But right now I have three AeroPresses.
Okay, Peter, I'll be right over to break all your AeroPresses.
Yeah, okay, thanks. I'll order a new one, an XL.
So this is an interesting coffee roaster, though. They, of course, as they said, this is their Peru blend. They source it from a bunch of different places. They started selling at farmer markets, and then they finally opened a little store in Hillsboro. And apparently they also sell products from other local merchants, like, I don't know what. I haven't been there. My wife's been there. I'll have to ask her. What else did they have there? But anyway, it's a cute little place. Old Town Hillsboro. What do we offer? What flavors do they say they offer? They've got medium roast Brazil, dark roast Brazil, espresso blend, Ethiopian Urigef, Mexican Chiapas.
I like Brazilian dark. You're speaking my language.
Mexican Chiapas and Mexican decaf. Although they must not have everything on there because they don't show this Peru blend that I'm currently drinking. So
that sounds incomplete.
All right. That's that for that. What else is going on?
Well, my Tesla died.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of audio issues, now let's switch to auto issues.
Mm-hmm. Oh, auto issues, audio issues, caffeine issues. Yeah, I was at the local Wegmans last night, and I was about to drive home, and I got in the car, and I got the dreaded noise from the Tesla, and the park neutral reverse... Wait, park, reverse, neutral, drive letters, you know, across the console to show you where you would shift, were all red. They're not usually red. They're usually white. Yeah. Red generally means bad.
It wasn't a rebranding thing? Elon Musk didn't push a rebranding to your... Okay.
No, this was not Tesla X or SpaceX or Twitter X or XX or anything like that. This was rear motor has been disabled. Performance, you can still drive the car, but performance may be impacted. Well, got news for you, Tesla. When you only have a rear motor in the car, yeah, performance is affected, all right. Like 100% effective.
Why did it say that? Why did it phrase it that way? It makes it sound like it has dual motors. When they have dual motors in the Tesla, is one of them in the front?
Yeah, dual motors would be all-wheel drive. So you got one up front for the front two wheels, one in the back for the back two wheels.
So you have a single motor.
Exactly. And the software is not smart enough to distinguish between that, which is awesome.
Peter, if you're going to cheap out and buy the single motor Tesla, you kind of deserve this, don't you feel like?
I never really, you know, thought when I was buying cars that I had to buy a backup motor until now. Thanks, Elon. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Elon. Thanks, X.
So, yeah. And to add to that, I called AAA and I tried to schedule a tow. 2 hours had gone by. I hadn't heard anything. Called back. And of course, because I call and they're like, use the app. Here, we just texted you the link. Okay, fine. Texted the link. And they're like, yep, we'll be in touch when we have a car on the way. You know, truck on the way. Great.
We'll be in touch.
I happen to be an hour away from home or a mile away from home. So I sent my girlfriend home. She took an Uber and took the groceries home because we had a bunch of stuff, you know, like dairy and vegetables and cold things that were starting to melt. So she went home. I waited for an hour. Nothing. I was like, all right, enough of this. I walked home. I get home 2 hours later, call AAA. What's going on? No, nothing. Oh, yeah, we're really busy. Uh-huh. Okay, great. The lady I spoke to was like, oh, it's 7:42 now. You'll get a stat. No, I think she said they'll be there by 5:32. So, all right, great. So I'm waiting. Clock gets down. It gets to about 5:20. I get on my bike and I ride over back to the car. Nothing going on. Nothing. 5:31, I get a phone call. Hi, this is AAA. We're due to extremely high call volumes or whatever, you know, like we're having trouble finding someone. We'll be back in touch in half an hour. So half an hour later, I get the exact same call. And half an hour later, I get the exact same call. I call AAA again. I'm like, look, can I call another tow truck? And they're like, yeah, if you can find one, just submit. There's a reimbursement form. I'm like, fine, I'll do that. So I call my local towing company who tows for my condo, right, when someone parks illegally in our parking lot. And I was like, yeah, I need a flatbed to bring my, you know, car. He's like, I'm sorry, sir, we're totally busy tonight. You know, I was like, wow, I guess, I don't know, Sunday night's the night for all of the tow trucks and wreckers to, you know, flatbeds to run around. So I said, well, my car's stuck over in Wegman's parking lot right now, and I'm just concerned that they're going to tow it overnight. And he says, oh, it's okay. We do the towing for them. So I was like, oh, well, if you're too busy to tow for them tonight, then I guess I'll leave my car there. So I went to bed.
No. So here's what would be funny, right? They can't come and get your car because they're too busy, but you leave it
towing
there.
My
Wegman
car.
Calls it in, and they tow it for you.
Oh, yeah, that would be... hilarious, Scott. That would be just great.
No, I'm saying you could work the system, Peter.
Right.
You should call
it for me.
You
right.
should go to Wegmans and say, hey, there's a Tesla out there that's been here for a long time.
I tell you what, though, if you have it brought over to my place. Anyway, so this morning I got the call, and again, it was delays, 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 but they finally got a truck showed up. Guy showed up. Guy didn't speak very much English, but I spoke enough Portuguese to get by with him. And as I was waiting, just as he arrived,
wait,
and he
did
starts...
Did you say Portuguese?
Yeah, Brazilian.
Wait, this happened.
We have
in
a
the
lot of Brazilians around
oh,
here.
Oh, really?
We have okay. a lot of Brazilians in this neighborhood. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of people who don't speak English around here, or at
yeah,
least not very well.
No, I can believe that, but Portuguese is pretty unusual.
Oh, no, we have lots of Brazilians in this area. Lots.
Wow.
So as he shows up and he starts to connect the tow, the flatbed, I get a message from Tesla saying, okay, your service appointment is confirmed, because I had been trying to get in touch with Tesla to schedule a new service. And of course, I'm trying to call them and it's impossible to actually get a human because, oh, just use the app. Just use the app. I'm like, I don't want to talk to the freaking app. I want to talk to someone. Anyway, I asked the guy, hey, can you take my car straight to the Tesla service center, right? Because my plan was, until I hear back from Tesla, bring it to my house. Then once it's here, I'll have them take it, you know, to the service center. Because my hope was, you can come here and fix it, Tesla, because they'll do that, mobile service.
Right.
Apparently, vehicle not good enough to drive is enough that they're like, no, we need to bring this in. So I asked the guy right there, can you take it there instead? He says, oh, let me check my manager. He checks the manager and says, yep. It's going to cost $75, you know, to tow, because they'll AAA give you 3 miles free. And then it's like $3 a mile after that. And he pulls out Google Maps, shows me, you know, the distance.
Yeah.
I give him $80 in cash. I say, thank you. And he drives off. So some dude, I just paid some guy $80 to go and vanish with my car. So that's the status. So my car is now there. I did manage to, somehow I managed to dial through the menus and actually speak to a service rep over there.
And you verified that they know that your car is there?
Well, that's the funny part. But anyway, they verified that they do prioritize, you know, like non-drivable cars that are towed in. So hopefully it'll be done before August 9th, which was the original date that they gave me.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, my car insurance policy does not cover a rental. I thought it did.
Oh, ow.
I don't know when that changed, but I might have officially left that off because my Tesla warranty did include a rental. So I might have like not paid for that. So I think I have to add that back in now that I don't have that anymore.
Oh, is your Tesla out of warranty now?
It's out of the base warranty, but now it has just the drive warranty, which I'm hoping will cover.
But it doesn't cover a rental anymore.
Doesn't cover jack. So I'm hoping that this will be covered because, you know, when the car says drive disabled, it sounds like a drive issue. Now, they could very well come back and say, oh, no, it's just an electronics issue. The drive's fine. It just didn't know to turn it on. And then I'm out however much to fix this, too. So
no, I think what happened is you didn't pay for Twitter Blue. Sorry, X Blue.
Right.
And they pushed a non-drivable update to your...
That is true. I did not pay for X Blue, so that's probably it. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I'm not completely in the Elon ecosystem. The Elon ecosystem.
The Elon X-stem. So tell me this. If you find out that this will be $1 billion to fix, you really do have an electric motor that's burnt out or whatever, are you just going to say, keep it and buy a Kia?
Well, if it really is the motor that's burned out or whatnot, that should be covered under warranty.
Right, but if it's not, what if they say, hey, Peter, you're going to have to fight us in court for 4,000 years?
I don't think I have that kind of time. I'm really busy. I'm not going to dedicate 4,000 years to this.
Yeah, I'm going to be really pissed if I get on your Calendly and I can't schedule you for a podcast for the next 4,000 years because you're busy fighting Tesla.
Peter, I just looked at the next available and it looks like you're at about 4,000. You're booking about 4,000 years out. Yeah, I know it just says busy. It doesn't give you a lot of details, but yeah, I'm fighting Tesla for the next 4,000 years. So yeah.
The good news is I don't know if humanity is actually going to last 4,000 more years. So you might not have to carry that fight on that long.
I guess that's good. I don't know. Yeah. It depends how you look at it, right? So
it's a brilliant victory. You win.
Oh man.
All right. Well, that sucks.
Yeah. But hey, if they fix it and get it drive worthy, I've gotten some quotes again. I'm planning on looking at trading it in.
Yeah.
You know, I got some online quotes. Of Of course, the last time I got online quotes, I took it to a dealer and they're like, there's this and reasons. And so we can only give you like $10,000 less than what we said. Well, if they try that, I don't know. But if I can get $20,000 for it, which it valued online at $22,000 based on what I told it, then I'll throw that towards a trade, towards a new car.
Dude, I still can't believe how lucky we were when we bought this hybrid Honda Accord. It was still in the pandemic car shortage period. It was still in the period where some dealerships were jacking prices up like crazy. And this car was hard to get.
Yeah.
I was amazed that, A, we found a hybrid Honda Accord in the sport trim and the color that I wanted. And not only that, it was cheap. They added like $2,000 to it, but it was still way cheaper than what I thought it was going to be. And they way overpaid me for my trade-in. So it's just amazing the difference in experience that I had compared to what most of the world is going through with respect to car dealerships.
Right. And I don't remember if I talked with you about it. I probably talked about it with Adam on Blurring the Lines, but back last, 2021? Christmas-ish time, 2021, I took my Tesla in. And Herb Chambers Kia quoted me online $32,000 in trade for my Tesla. And then they also said...
that's as much as it cost new. Well, not quite, but close.
Oh, no. That's how much a Model 3 costs, not a Model S.
I don't know what the Model S went for.
Oh, no. Oh, way more than that.
Okay.
So, and then they said, yeah, we've got a Kia EV6 MSRP, $50,000 or whatever. I get there, they want like $60,000 for the Kia EV6.
Of course.
And they are offering me $10,000 to $12,000 less for the Tesla. And this, can you beep me please? This of a salesman looks at me, gives me a $20,000 difference, and he says, "So do we have a deal?" To which I say, "No, not remotely." You have to understand, I feel like a little bit of a bait and switch is going on because, you know, we came in, I was looking at this price for one car and this price for the other. Now you're giving me this price and that's the price I'm going to pay, listener. You can't see this, but it goes up significantly. And then the trade-in value is this price. And it, dear listener, the trade-in value goes way down. And, you know, just like the utter gall. So I was like, yeah, no, we don't. And they never heard from me again. So.
Yeah, I gotta say, that is kind of weird because anytime I've ever used the internet quotes, they've always stuck to what they said the new car was going to cost. And of course, your trade-in could vary slightly depending on the condition, but it's never been that far out of whack. I've never had that kind of experience.
And that's the thing, too. He's like, oh, we got some wheel damage here. I was like, yeah, okay. So that's a wheel. Yep.
Yeah, a $10,000 wheel.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think that wheel is accounting for the $20,000 discrepancy that we're dealing with here, though, dude.
No, but so. just accounting for the trade-in one, that's $10,000.
Bingo. Yeah, for a freaking wheel? I'm like, no. And like, oh, well, it's a rear-wheel drive in New England. I'm like, hey, Sparky, it was a rear-wheel drive in New England when I got the online estimate, too. You know, I didn't pull the front wheel drive out of it. So.
I didn't rip out a motor.
Oh, brother. All right.
Although if you had ripped out a motor, you'd have a spare one right now. Of course, it probably wouldn't fit in the back of the car.
Damn it.
Who knows?
But I'd have a four-wheel drive. Anyway. That's enough of that. So, yeah. All right. What else we got to talk about? Let's keep moving. We've got my beer. You've got your coffee. We can jump cut this one, you know? Just like, yeah. So Twitter's going to fix AI.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants AI that's interested in the truth. And by truth, we mean anything that...
Elon's view of life, yeah.
Right. His fake news, exactly. Yep. Which is great. He's trash. I mean, I was just thinking there wasn't anything left that he could do to Twitter to alienate people more. But now he's renaming it. He's going to get rid of the logo. He's going to call it X.
Well, he's also cut off people's DMs. He's rate limited them. So here's the thing, Peter. Remember how before he bought Twitter, he was bashing them, saying spam is easy to get rid of. You can automate it away. He can't get rid of it. So his solution is to restrict DMs.
You can. You can get rid of it. If you destroy the entire platform, I guarantee there will be no spam on the platform.
If people can't DM you and you're rate limited in what you can do on the platform, eventually the spam goes away.
Bada bing.
Yep. Brilliant job, Elmo. Brilliant. Job.
Good job. Ha! Wonderful.
Yeah. Has anybody taken a platform and destroyed its value so rapidly?
It's pretty amazing. So a while ago, you gave me and Adam a link to, what was it, the 25 settings or something like that you should change in macOS?
Yes.
I have changed a few of them. A lot of them I already had, but the most significant one is I have put the dock on the left side, and I took to that pretty quickly.
But did you auto-hide it? I can't stand it unless I auto-hide it, and here's the reason why.
I've always auto-hidden. Always auto-hidden the dock.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I never have. But here, that's actually the smart... It's especially smart to auto-hide if you have the dock at the bottom, which I used to have the dock at the bottom, but I didn't auto-hide it. So here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
If you don't auto-hide the dock, but you have it on the side, I can't stand the offset of the windows. When you full-screen something, it's offset by that dock, and that just drives me insane. Why? Don't know. Just a personal problem.
Don't know.
But it does.
Don't know, don't care.
The only thing that bothers me about the auto-hide dock is not being able to see the notifications on my message, because I don't let anything ding me up above and show me stuff, so I have to see that badge to know that I have new messages.
Hmm.
And so I do have to check that occasionally. But other than that, it's working out really well. I really like it, yeah. It gives me more space. The only thing that acts weird sometimes is lasso. When I use my keyboard shortcuts in Lasso to position my windows, sometimes it accounts for that dock space even though the dock is auto-hidden. But if I move the menu slightly, or the window slightly, and re-trigger the shortcut again, then it seems to start working. So I've submitted that report to the developer. He's not sure why. I told him I would try my workaround of moving the window a little bit and hitting the keyboard shortcut again and see if it works every time, just so it might give him a clue as to what's going on. But aside from that, I'm really digging this setup.
Yeah, no, I did that, and then I followed on to the next link, and I do love the guy's presentation style. So you might think, then you'd be wrong, and so, you know. Anyways, yeah, I like his style there.
He doesn't act like a standard YouTuber. He's not like a, hey guys, what's up?
What's up, guys? I'm gonna talk to you for the next 5 minutes about nothing before I get into what you actually clicked on this link for.
And... Exactly.
But anyway, I did follow the next link that YouTube suggested from him, which was 25, I think, free amazing Mac apps that you have to be using.
Yeah, I've checked several of his. Occasionally, he puts a new check out these Mac apps video out, and sometimes they're free and sometimes they're paid, and he's usually got some pretty good suggestions in there. We're talking about the Snazzy Labs channel, by the way, in YouTube. And I'll have links to that in the notes of show.
So I switched from Alfred to Raycast just to try it out.
Uh-huh.
And operating pretty much in the default settings, I haven't really noticed much of a difference. Except Alfred had been freezing on me for a while every now and then.
Weird.
Raycast has not done that.
Okay, let me ask you this. Did you have any Alfred plugins that you could disable and see if it made a difference?
I don't remember enabling any Alfred plugins. Maybe it is like searching contacts or something like that. Would that be an Alfred plugin? I don't even know. So I don't know.
I don't think that's a plugin. Really, I think that's just a setting.
Yeah. But I did install Shutter, and I used that a couple of times.
Yeah, that's just a normal... feature. That's just a default results feature. And if you open Alfred and you go into features, default results, you can turn contacts off. Yeah. And you can tell it to search preferences, contacts. You can also enable folders, images, documents, archives, text files, Apple scripts. I'm going to enable all those.
So I did enable searching for, they call extensions in Raycast, not plugins, but I did enable at least I thought I enabled the contacts one, but it doesn't see. Yeah. Search contacts. It's called search contacts. So I did that.
They're called workflows in Alfred, and third parties can write them. And I've got a bunch of workflows in here for like text conversions, a chatbot one, Kaleidoscope integration, which is my diff tool, shortcuts integration, a bunch of different ones. And they work out pretty good. Oh, a 1Password one too. So it'll search 1Password entries for me.
Oh, that might be useful.
So that I think that's where the main difference would come down to is if you have some workflows in Alfred that you're used to and you want to recreate, or vice versa. If you get used to Raycast and you start adding all kinds of plugins or whatever you said they're called, extensions.
Raycast has a 1Password extension and it's enabled.
That might be the main thing of switching back and forth between the two, is there might be differences in some of those things that are available. And to be honest, I haven't looked that much at Raycast, and I don't remember why. I don't remember what it was about Raycast that... Anyway, I'll look at it again.
Anyway, I'm playing with it. And I'm playing with Shutter, except I forget to use that, so...
Shutter? Is that like CleanShot X? I'm using CleanShot X.
I think it is.
For screen captures.
Like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a screen capture annotation. You can do video on it, you know, capture screen video, all that kind of stuff.
Shotter has some pretty cool features, though. Like, you can select a tool. Once you take a... Okay, so my Command-Shift-2 is now Shotter. And then I do a, you know, I drag and drop a rectangular area, and it screen caps that.
Mm-hmm.
But then what's really cool is the things you can do to it. Like, there's a highlighter, there's a blur.
Right.
But there's really cool things, like you can... Oh, it's got the rectangle too, like Sketch used to have. Remember that? Yeah.
So does CleanShot X, yeah.
But it can let you highlight and remove text.
That's nice.
For instance, or blur just text, or blur everything else and stuff. It's pretty slick. So you, what happens is, like, I just took a screenshot of some text, actually, you know, my Raycast screen. And then, so I'm going to do that. I take a screenshot. Now I've got a screenshot with some pictures and some words on it. I select the blur tool, and then I highlight the area I want to blur.
Mm-hmm.
Then it pops up like, okay, by default, it's you blur everything. But now I can select blur text. And now all the text is blurred, but everything else remains legible.
That is nice.
Or I can say erase text and all the text goes away, but everything else remains. So if you like have a password field or a username field and something, you can highlight that and your username, you know, whatever you have in there goes away. So that could be pretty slick.
That sounds like something that I can't do.
Yeah, it's worth looking at. It's pretty slick. Pretty slick.
CleanShot versus Shotter. So it's Shotter, S-H-O-T-T-R.
T-T-R, right? Of course, because Web 2, you know.
Yeah. Web 2.
Shotter.
Web 2 versus Web 3. Okay, sounds good. I will take a look at that. Let's real briefly, Peter, you and I did this because you kind of talked me into it, because I'm going to offend some people. I know a lot of people that get on betas because they are of the FOMO type and they're just always on the beta train. But you are a lot more sensible about your OSs. So when you got onto the iPhone and watch beta, then I said, okay, I'm going to do that too. And tell me what you think about the watch beta.
Okay, so as whenever they change a micro interface, you know, like this, it's like, it's significant, right?
Right. There's so much muscle memory that has to be overcome.
Right. So right now, like, changing the action button, I guess it's called, now calls up Control Center, where that used to be a swipe up from the bottom.
I think that one's just called the side button. It may be different on the Ultra.
The side button. No. It's the side button. Okay. It's the side button. The action button's on the other side on the Ultra. Sorry. Yes, the side button. So the side button calls up Control Center. At first, I was like, it seems like a waste of a whole button. I don't know. But I do use it a lot. I do frequently turn it to silence. I want to change my focus.
Yep.
I might want to call up the flashlight or AirPlay or, you know, check my battery life. So, okay, fine. I use it enough. Clicking the crown now calls up the application list.
Right.
Okay, fine. And, you know, I had been using applications in a list anyway. If I put that in Bubble, would that be in Bubble mode, or is it always in List mode?
It'll come up in Honeycomb if you put it in Honeycomb mode.
So for me, right, Honeycomb. So for me, it's in List mode. Okay, fine.
Well, here's one thing about the Honeycomb I will say real quickly. The Honeycomb mode on this watch OS, it doesn't go outward. So right. In other words, it's kind of like a list, but you have more things side by side in the list.
Yeah.
So you still have to scroll vertically more to see all your apps, but you don't have to go side to side in this huge circle looking for your apps.
I haven't tried it yet. Maybe I should try that.
Yeah, it's a lot better.
Okay, maybe I should try that.
And all I had to do was move like four or five things closer to the top, and now I've got a very workable system.
Okay. So then there's double pressing the crown button.
Mm-hmm.
Double pressing the crown, which now used to toggle back to the previous application you had open.
Yeah.
But now it opens up more recent apps like pressing the side button used to do.
Which is pretty cool.
Okay. But it's, again, it's muscle memory. You know, I'm like, okay, I don't know. So
it is. Oh, absolutely. I'm not discounting the muscle memory, but I am saying,
yeah,
I like this. If this had been what we would have originally been given, we wouldn't be complaining, I don't think.
Right. I mean, there were like... app view, I found it, grid view. Honeycomb view is actually called grid view.
Hmm.
Huh. So I'm in grid view now, and you scroll, okay.
See, pretty nice, huh? Much better than the old way.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'm going to have to change it. But by default, it's pretty good. So, okay, cool. Grid view.
Yeah, because with the old one, you had to use your finger on the screen. With this one, you don't have to. You can just use the crown and scroll through them all.
To scroll down, yeah. I like that. Okay, that's better. That's an improvement. All right, cool. I did notice, like, it seems to pick up a little more quickly and suggest an outdoor exercise. Like, I got on my bike a couple times back and forth to my Tesla and forgot to start a workout. And within, like, a minute or so, it was like, hey, are you biking? I'm like, well, yes, I am. As opposed to, like, and again, I haven't tried this with an outdoor walk, so I don't know. Because usually it's like 15 minutes I'm into an outdoor walk. It's like, are you walking? I'm like, yes. And it's like, okay, great. We'll start an outdoor walk 5 minutes ago. What about the first 10 minutes? Okay, fine. So I don't know. I can't tell. I'm comparing apples to oranges, so I can't tell if it's more, but it felt like it was more accurate.
Yeah.
I did like seeing the status of my workout on the phone, if for no other reason than to remember to stop the workout when I got home and looked at my phone.
Right.
So yeah, those are the things I like on the watch. I'm not thrilled with the preferences for groups of workouts now, because it used to be like I would have, say, a bunch of different runs configured. I would have default long run, an aerobic run, which is at a low heart rate, tempo run, which is at a high speed, high heart rate. And I would have different thresholds and different alerts for each of these. Now, unless I'm missing something, it seems like it is just a preference that applies to all of your run workouts.
Oh.
So every run, if I change, and I'm changing pretty much every day of the week, I'm doing a tempo run today, I'm doing an aerobic run the next day, I'm doing a, you know, this run, this run, this run, they change every time. I have to go in and change the preference every time, as opposed to just scrolling and saying tempo run or long run or whatever.
Yeah, that's a setback.
Yeah, I don't like that. They also tweaked the ending of a workout a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't. It confused me at first. I was like, what is going on? Because it has more options
now. I'm getting
there. It's like,
exactly.
It's too easy to say pause. Oh, actually, it's too easy to select a new, what's it called?
To select a new workout, but
no, segment, like a segment.
Oh, segment? You used to double tap. That was a segment. That's
how
it used
to do. Yeah, but now, like if I'm running or something and I try to stop it, it wants to start a new segment. Is that what I'm thinking of? Is the word segment or is it what am I thinking of?
So I think you said start a new workout.
Yeah. Okay. That's there too. But first it shows start a new segment.
Oh, okay. I didn't even catch that.
Do you know what I mean? It's like you can time different segments and it doesn't detract from the overall time of the workout, but it shows you individual stats for those segments. That pops up and gets in my way. And then there's also, if you get to the end workout screen, there's end workout and there's start another workout. And I keep
start another workout.
Out of muscle right. memory, I keep tapping that bottom one, which is the start color that end workout
yes.
used to be.
Yep. And you don't like having to switch screens, having to press and hold to switch it, but I've gotten used to that.
Used to be you could swipe right and left and you would switch screens. Now you have to hold it to go into edit mode and then you can swipe between your screens. However,
yep.
And that really disturbed me at first, but
yep.
With being able to use the either swipe from the bottom or just scroll with the crown when you're on your screen and suddenly get your widgets list. Well, now I've got my activity widget pinned there. It shows me the date and time. I've got my weather. Then it has a little widget at the bottom that shows me activity I can start right from there. I can go to messages, and that little messages bubble also shows you that you have messages unread and how many there are. So with those things pinned, having that widget dock view right there available means I almost never have to swipe screens anymore. So yeah, it is annoying that if I did want to swipe screens, it's much more clunky to do now, but I don't really want to do it as much because those widgets take over that functionality. Because
really
the only reason I was using multiple screens was because you can only have so many complications.
Yes.
And widgets serve the purpose of giving you that information and or giving you that functionality. So it works.
So yeah, I'll play with the grid view again. Now it seems like it's gotten you more useful. Other changes, let's see. It's better when it comes to dictating or audio, sending messages. It's clearer that it's waiting for you to, you know, or it's thinking about, it's holding the message. Okay, now I'll send the message.
I agree.
Although it used to be, you could press the crown button to send.
Oh.
Now you press the crown button to cancel. So.
Oh, that's a big That
muscle memory almost, you know, I was like, oh, okay. I didn't, you know, so that was
not only that, but a frustrating one.
Yeah. And when you make the exact opposite.
Well, I guess it's better that way than the other way, because if you used to get a message from your boss and you would swear at your boss in dictation and then you would cancel it because you didn't really want to send it. But then, yes, then they changed it from cancel to send. That would have been bad.
It is better, you know, to cancel rather than, but it's
still frustrating.
It's not a good thing when you make something do the exact opposite that it used to do.
Right. Exactly. Here's the thing that bothers me about dictation, or even when you're doing text input with your finger, mm-hmm, to change a word up above. If you don't actually want to change a word, but you just want to get rid of a comma or something, it can be really hard to get the selection cursor up into that text to modify it.
If you just want to get rid of a ducking word?
Yeah, you can get the bottom row, but then to, I don't know, it's just frustrating. I wind up leaving in commas that it puts there from dictations just because I can't get to them and erase them very easily, and I give up and I just send it. It's like, whatever, you can figure it out. But overall, I really like it. I like the widgets. I think I do a lot less scrolling of faces, and overall, I think I'm pretty happy with it.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think it's definitely a step in the right direction.
I will be curious to see if you, what you find out about your run types, and if there's a way that you can get that back without having to constantly be changing your settings before every effing run.
Yep.
Before every ducking run.
Every ducking run.
You know what? He should have said, instead of saying sometimes you just want to change a, oh, sometimes you just want to send a ducking word, sometimes you just want to change a ducking run.
That's it. I want to run. I don't want to duck. Yeah. So there you go. Take us out.
Push your button.
I'll push the button. You push your button. Big red button.
Big orange button.